Welcome to another edition of GVN's Talking Comics Interview. On today's show, we have the pleasure of speaking to talented filmmaker and VFX artist Kenneth Liu. Kenneth's recent film, Artists in Agony, Hitman at the Coda Tea House, is a humorous, action-filled mockumentary in the style of Rob Reiner's This is Spinal Tap. Coming on July 21st, Artists in Agony will be coming to Tubi. Today, we're going to talk to Kenneth about his start, his VFX work, and his films. Now here's your host, Martin Sexton.
Welcome to another edition of GVN Talking Comics. I am your host, Martin, and today we have the pleasure of talking to talented filmmaker Kenneth Liu. Kenneth has been involved in filmmaking for some time now on the VFX side of the slate on such films as Captain America Civil War, Batman vs. Superman, and Guardians of the Galaxy, among others, but also in creating his own short films through his Mental Pictures label, films including Falsehood, White Wolf Zombie Killer, 1-4, The Girl Who Couldn't Come, and his latest, Artists in Agony, Hitman at the Coda Tea House. So we're going to talk to Kenneth about his early start in films, his VFX work, and his latest film. So let's welcome Kenneth Liu to GVN Talking Comics. How are we doing today, Ken?
Good to be here. Really good.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Okay. So like I said, because this is the first time I've had the honor of talking to you, we're going to delve a little bit into your creative history. And I know you graduated from the Art Center College of Design with a bachelor's degree in film production, but were you always intrigued at film, like right out of high school? And whose work kind of inspired you to want to pursue that?
I'm a kid from the 80s, raised by a single mom. So escapism was my jam, you know? So I grew up around, you know, Terminator and John Carpenter movies and James Cameron movies and Luc Besson movies and John Woo movies. So that was just right inside my wheelhouse there. It's just that I saw that and I was like, ooh, I want to do that. That's what I want to do. So that's.
So, I mean, like I said, so you also went into the VFX side of things. So how did those opportunities arise? And initially, did you plan on branching out from that to filmmaking, or was this just a step in that evolution?
It was a step. It was a step in the evolution. It was, I graduated Art Center, and a college buddy of mine who went to Art Center as well, he was already in the visual effects industry. And so he kind of turned me onto it and was kind of selling it to me as like saying, hey, you know, as a filmmaker, it would be a huge boon for you, like an arrow in your quiver, so to speak, to know all this stuff, to know all the nitty gritty about, you know, visual effects. And I thought to myself, I can't argue with that. So he started kind of training me at home because now, you know, you can kind of do that nowadays, which is great. So he kind of let me come over his house and just practice programs and practice the whole art of it. And then once I felt confident enough to try to, you know, work my way into the industry, I got an opportunity to work on Terminator Salvation. So it was quite a full circle moment for me. It was a big deal because I was like, I was inspired by the Terminator movies when I was a little boy. And now I have an opportunity to actually work on a Terminator movie as a visual effects professional. So I got a huge kick out of that. So things kind of went full circle. So that's how I kind of fell into it.
I would have been geeking out about that for just that reason. I said, hey, I love the Terminator and now I get to work on it. So I get my hands in that. So that's
absolutely.
Cool. Yeah. So one of your earliest films was a four-part web piece called Falsehood. I got to say that I love the premise of the film, a court case against the big bad wolf for his supposed crimes against Little Red White Riding Hood and Grandma. But I also love the headlines that were being shown when Little Bo Peep was doing her research before the final day of the trial, where you had headlines like, "All the King's Men Freed in the Humpty Dumpty Trial," and of course, there was an article rubbing all that Mrs. Dash season into Little Bo Peep because an article about her losing her sheep, which kind of makes you not surprised that Bo Peep's on Prozac, at least according on the film. So I love that. And quite funny,
that.
Actually. Yes.
Thank you so much.
So what made you decide to do that particular story? And because it was one of your earlier films, did you have any apprehension in going into making it?
There's always apprehension. I have to tell you, Martin, always, is this stupid? Is a question that is always in your mind. Oh my God, is this dumb? But no, what happens is that if I usually get an idea that just sinks its hooks into my brain and won't let go, that's the sign that I'm kind of, you know, I'm screwed. Like, oh, I got to do this. So I was nearing the kind of point where I had to make a decision on what kind of thesis film I wanted to make for college. So I wasn't having any ideas, because originally I wanted to do something like science fiction, something Hitchcockian, and nothing was coming out. Like nothing, I wasn't coming with any ideas. And then while I was lamenting to one of my college buddies, I was saying how, oh, the only thing I got is just this random idea where I thought, oh, it might be fun to put the Big Bad Wolf on trial for what he did to Red Riding Hood and kind of do it as a trial drama, like a fantasy trial drama. That idea just, you know, it sunk its hooks. And so I figured that's a cool idea and just went with it. And then the next thing I know, I'm drawing, you know, I'm drawing sketches and I have ideas and, oh yeah, I'll make Red Riding Hood kind of like that femme fatale noir kind of, you know what I mean? Like she came in and you know, she came in with that look in her eye and that whole, you know, that kind of like film noir stuff. So I got to indulge in some of my favorite, favorite cinematic, elements, so to speak. So yeah, and so I knew that I could. I don't know. I just thought it'd be a fun idea. So I did that one.
Yes, and it was actually okay. So like when you're, like I said, you're going through all the creative phrases, doing sketches and things. Is there somebody that you have to bounce your ideas off of, right? For someone who you would trust, who would might tell you that, well, that's not a good idea or whatever, or just did you basically just, you know, take the bull by the horn and just do it yourself?
Oh no. No one ever gets there by themselves. Honestly, film is such a collaborative art form. Whether it's your mom who tells you that is a dumb idea, or your brother, or anybody, but yeah, to answer your question, I show everybody. I don't, even people I don't trust. So it's like, because you know that once it goes out in the world, there are going to be people like that as well. So I mean, and just because someone doesn't like something, in fact, it might be the reason why they don't like something that makes me pull the trigger on an idea as well. So it's kind of like it's a fascinating feeling when the person that is telling you the opinion that is supposed to dissuade you actually makes you want to do it more. But I've actually had that happen too. So I like opinions. Just because I might disagree with them, it doesn't mean, oh, I won't do it or I'll fall to pieces or whatever. Because if what I like about it is still there, there's nothing that will stop me, honestly. So.
I said, well, that's interesting, you know, because some people, you know, will tie their ego into it and, you know, get totally offended if someone. I remember way back in the day when I was drawing it, really, I was a horrible. I didn't take criticism well at all. But luckily, I got so much of it, I got used to it after a while, but I was horrible at that kind of thing. So I think it's interesting, especially in film, you know, where you're smart enough to know not to let, you know, negative opinions sit there and make you stop trying to do what you're wanting to do.
Right. That's actually kind of like one of the first lessons. It's just kind of like, if you like it, then there's odds are someone else will like it too, you know?
Okay. So now you also created a short horror action film, White Wolf Zombie Killer. Did your work in VFX help you as far as making films like that? And you know, for that matter, Falsehood, did that experience help you in making those films?
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, any little like lesson you can glean from anything really, from reading a book or you know, watching artwork or going to your friend's, you know, rock band, like, you know, recital, you know what I mean? Like any, yeah. It all helps. It all, I found that it all kind of comes around and then it all kind of starts to come into place. So the answer is yes. Cause then it gives, and then even if I don't do the effects myself, me being like knowing the vocabulary, so to speak, then it's like, okay, at least I know how it can be done. I won't know how to do it because there's people smarter than me that can do it. Right. But at least I know that, oh, it can be done because I'll have a strategy. And then more times than not, the artist that I'm working with will actually either have, they'll know what I want to do and have a better way of doing it, or they'll understand like, okay, I see what you're trying to do, and you know, that kind of thing. So it just allows you to, you know, as a filmmaker, you got to speak a lot of languages. So you got to speak actor, you got to speak editor, you got to speak camera, you got to speak writer, you got to speak, you know what I mean? So you got to speak.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
VFX artist, so it just helps to know how to speak to the artists that you're collaborating with.
Okay, so now you've had the good fortune, you know, because as I've been looking through some of your films, you got some really great performances going on in these films. You know, you had Ann Wells' Bo Peep, you had Jason Frost in Ida E4, also in White Wolf Zombie Killer, and Sebastian Knox for The Girl Who Couldn't Come. How do you go about casting your films, and do you tend to go back to the people you've used before, or how do you go about that?
It's honestly just okay. It's such it's hard. I have found that a lot of times, you know, I don't like to audition. Actors don't like auditioning. No one likes auditioning. No one likes it. And what's also fascinating too is just because you get a good audition, it doesn't mean that necessarily when it's time to shoot and the lights are there and they're on the spot, you know, that that you'll get the same performance. So I find that my approach lately, at least as I got older, was very much kind of zen-like. Just, okay, if I know that they can do it, I just trust it'll show up and it'll be there. So, and a lot of them, they're my friends. I think of them as my friends first. So I guess I have that kind of underlying trust. They foolishly trust me. No, you know what I mean though? But so they're buddies of mine. We hang out and I say, hey, you know, I understand you've always wanted to play, a villain, or I understand you always wanted to play a romantic role or whatever. And so I always have that in the back of my mind. So then whenever I have some kind of role that might actually fit that wish of theirs, then I give them a chance. Like I had a buddy who, you know, I worked at VFX with, and he always wanted to play a zombie. And when I gave him that chance, he was the best zombie I've ever seen. It was like, because it was his bucket list wish, right? So as soon as I put the camera on him, I put the goop on his face, action. He was so good that I was like, okay, put him in the front. He's going to be my hero zombie. He's awesome. I feel like when I see someone that's capable, I give him a chance. And I just trust that it'll show up. And a lot of times it does. And when it doesn't, then, you know, you learn how to make do with what's there. You know, it's very much a kind of like it's like being on Chopped in a way. It's like that show Chopped, you know, it's like, you got this, you got that, and you got this, make it work. And that's kind of the art.
So have you ever had to let an artist go?
All the time. No, not to, and mind you, it's not like anything adversarial or animosity. It's just a lot of times things don't fit. Like actors will not be comfortable with, say, I don't know, the sexuality of a role. You know, that's happened, you know. And then I tried to explain, well, no, I'm not going to show anything. I'm not going to, you know, it's nothing going to be risque. I'm not going to show nudity. It's just, but like, you know, like the example of The Girl Who Couldn't Come, it's about a girl who can't come, literally can't come unless she's listening to Johnny Cash, which I think is hysterical, right?
But, right.
You know, some actresses will balk because of the sexual nature of the joke of the movie, right? So, you know, I'm not going to change the whole gist of the joke. Just so, and I, you know, like I said, I reassured them, I'm not going to show anything. It's the joke is about, you know, not being able to come, not showing stuff. So, you know, I've had that happen. So yes, things don't work out all the time. but not necessarily for, you know, oh, it's just sometimes it, just like anything else, sometimes you can be friends, sometimes you can't, and sometimes you can work together, and sometimes you can't, and so everything in between, you know. So nothing, you know, no animosity. It just all, it doesn't, you know, not a good fit. That's all. Happens all the time.
All right. Okay. So your latest film entitled "Artists in Agony: Hitman at the Coda Tea House." What was that film based on, and how is it different from your previous films? I kind of already know, but I'm gonna let you tell us.
Oh goodness. Well, okay. It, I was hanging out with my buddy, me and my wife, and co-producer Mariana. Where kind of my buddy went through a breakup and was coming out of an 8-year relationship. So me and my wife were just trying to cheer him up and keep him company and support him. And he just kind of turned to me and said, "Kenny, I would love to be in one of your projects chasing after some bad guys. Can you make that happen?" And that was Dave, who became Scorpio in the movie. That was Dave. So the idea of just the vision of seeing my buddy Dave, you know, chasing after bad guys, for some reason, I saw it as a handheld kind of verite look to it. And so that dovetailed into this wish. I've always wanted to do kind of like an improv kind of Spinal Tap, what we do in the shadows kind of thing. But you would need really good actors, really talented actors that trust me, obviously, and could pull it off, because, you know, you set the bar really high when you do something like that. But I fortunately had really good actors. And so we did an experiment, which turned out to be their audition tape of sorts. And I cut it together and showed it to them. And I said, "Hey, look, I think we have something special. If you kind of let me have a few more of these and help me complete an arc, I think we could have a really fun, interesting, weird thing." And they said, "Yeah." So then that's how we got it. So as far as it looking different from my other work, it's because of just necessity. It's just like, well, this is the camera I have. I decided to just no lights. I will just go as fast as I can, focus on performances, and just pick good locations. I already picked a good, you know, actor. And so just the verite, gritty kind of dogma esque look of it is just kind of just happens to be part of, you know, the ingredients that I got to work with. So,
and saying that's pretty much what I like a lot about your film. Like I said, they're all very different, different angles, different, you know, it's fascinating actually. So now you have, as I've been looking over this, you've been pretty much a multitasking creation team for most of your films, serving in all kinds of capacities. So, and I don't know if this has actually already happened to you or not, but when the opportunity arises for you to just direct a film and let other people do all that other stuff, will you have a trouble letting go of some of that control?
Oh my goodness. That's a wonderful question. The answer is, will I have trouble? I hope not. I'll say that. Cause if you surround yourself with the right talent, you don't have to worry, because it'll be there, right? It's like, if you pick the right actor, it'll be there. And then, so the answer to your question, I don't think so. If the people that I'm working with are good and I get what I'm, you know, they understand what we're all trying to, because honestly, I just want the best idea wins, so to speak. Right. So I don't, you know, I obviously have veto power, but I really like it when I want everyone to shine. You know what I mean? So I want everyone to do their best work, because in the end, I get the credit. No, but to be honest, like, no, I encourage everyone to do their best work when they're working with me, and vice versa. So I might be tempted. I won't lie. But yeah, I'm sure if they're doing it right and everyone is like, you know, killing it, then I would love to be more than just happily stand there and go, "Yep, that was good." Because it's funny, as a director, you do everything and you do nothing at the same time. You don't act it, you don't shoot it, you don't, I mean, in the case of Artists in Agony, I did shoot it. You know, generally speaking, like, you don't shoot it, you don't act it, you don't, but you just make sure that it's going right. So it's kind of a weird job where you do everything and you do nothing.
Excellent. Okay. Well, actually, Kenneth, that's what I have for you today. But before I let you go, I want to give you an opportunity to talk about any other new projects you have coming. You seem to be a very busy fellow, so I don't doubt that you do. But I want to give you an opportunity to talk about that for our audience.
No, right now we're just in complete promo mode for Artists in Agony, which we worked really hard on over a 10-year period and, you know, on and off, kind of like Following style, the way Nolan did Following. Because we all have jobs, we all, you know, have day jobs. So yeah, we're in complete promo mode to when it'll be on Tubi, July 21st. So we're just excited. And you can see little extras. Remember DVDs had extras? We have something like that on our website, Artists in Agony. And there's some cool merch there too. So yeah, just there's a lot of extras and cool little Artists in Agony universe things on artistsinagony.com. If you're interested in seeing any of my older shorts and stuff, you can see those. I actually just put those up recently on kennethlui.com, L-U-I. So there you go. And we're on Instagram at Mental Pictures Productions.
And I recommend you that you do check it out on his website because, like I said, there's some really cool stuff and very imaginative stuff.
Oh, that, I appreciate that.
So I recommend that. Okay, well, we appreciate you, Kenny. And now that I'm familiar, I'm going to be following exactly what your career will be hold. And like I said, I actually expect at some point in time you'd be just directing some films, but hey, this is working, so just keep doing this if nothing else.
Thanks,
so I appreciate it, and hopefully talk to you again down in the future.
I would love that.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to GVN's Talking Comics. Please come back again. Talking Comics is a production of Geek Vibes Nation.